Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So last week's sermon was a little intense. Some of you left here thinking, wow, not just the time, because I know you can listen to me preach for extended amounts of time, all day if I asked you to. But no, the subject matter was what was actually intense about it, right? That Jesus, in fact, tells us to expect suffering, expect persecution. And that's not just, somebody says a bad word that hurts your feelings. It's physical. It could be putting you out of the synagogues, killing you, and thinking they're offering a service to God. It's, in fact, changing what is good and calling what is good evil and what is evil good. And that actually being pushed within a nation, within a community, within the schools, wherever you go, never being able to escape it. But maybe that's not going to be what happens to you. Maybe you will only suffer people hurling words at you and you've got thick skin. I'm happy for you. But if you were to actually not suffer, it's not because you shouldn't expect to. It's because God is being merciful. It's because he has allowed you to be spared that cross to bear. But don't think you shouldn't still expect it. So also with that, as the disciples were awaiting this, the day of Pentecost, the feast of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, they were thinking, surely, about all the ways in which they were going to begin in Jerusalem and then go out into all the world bringing this gospel message, one which would come at the cost of even their own life. But they were willing to do it. They were willing to get up and to speak in front of even the people who crucified Jesus on the cross with boldness, with bravery and courage. But do not be deceived. It was not because they themselves were suddenly just filled with their own strength and resolve and confidence, and now we finally get it and we can do it. No, it was because of the power that came from on high. God promised the Holy Spirit, and he sent the Holy Spirit. And he, entering into the hearts of the disciples, encouraged them, strengthened them, gave them cheerful joy as they would go out, gathered in one accord, and speak in one accord the works of God, the mighty works of God, how he brought salvation to all the world through Jesus Christ, how he came for every sinner that they might be now the forgiven ones, for every unbeliever that they might be the believing ones, for every lost and scattered ones that they might be the found ones, for every orphan abandoned that they might be brought into a family in which no one can take them from, one whose father is not like our earthly fathers, but who is above all fathers, who is the heavenly father, who created and knit you together in your mother's womb. The Holy Spirit gathers his church on earth and fills his people with cheerful joy that they might have a strength that is beyond their own to face the afflictions, to face the trials, to turn and find the ways of escape out of temptation, to bear the cross which God sends us. He does not expect us to do it without him. We have the Holy Spirit. And boy, does the Holy Spirit have a tough job. 365 days a year, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. You can call upon him, whether it's at 3 a.m. or whether it's 3 p.m. It makes no difference. He is there with you. No vacations, no breaks. The Holy Spirit is there with you, even when you don't feel him, because God has promised the Holy Spirit to his faithful people. The Holy Spirit has a tough job, because he's not just dealing with external pressures that affect you, like the persecution which Jesus told us to expect, but the Holy Spirit is also waging a war with your sinful nature that desires to overcome you, the poison that is within you that desires again to consume your life and bring you back into unbelief, back into sin and shame, back away from trusting in God and back to trusting in yourself. That poison, which is in our sinful nature, God takes care of with the immortal medicine that he gives to us in word and sacrament that comes, by the way, through the Lord and giver of life. That is the Holy Spirit, who takes what is Jesus's and he declares it to us. Takes what Jesus won on the cross, the forgiveness of our sins, and there he says, this is for you. He calls, he gathers, he enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth. What a job. But that he also does this for me. That the Holy Spirit called you by the gospel, enlightened you, and sanctified you. That he gave to you the gift of forgiveness, of life and salvation. Even now, these 2,000 years following Pentecost, the Holy Spirit has not slowed down. He's still working. You need him. You need the Comforter. You need the Helper. You need the guardian of your soul. You need the one who is going to be your advocate, who is also going to lead you and guide you in the way of righteousness. Otherwise, you will again be so quickly lost, devoured by all of those around you. Look at Psalm 143 again. Open your bulletin or open your hymnal to Psalm 143. If you're in your bulletin, it's on the page 8 that I want you to be at. Look at the ways in which we are called to speak to the Lord. Answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails. We plead with God to answer us, but then it goes on. We ask God, hide not your face from me. Let me hear in the morning your steadfast love. Why? You've already heard it once. Why do you need to hear it again in the morning? Because you forgot it. And you need to start your day with it. Be the thing that you build on. That when you wake up in the morning, you're building on the rock of Christ. So that when you start your day, no matter what comes your way, you know how it ends. It always ends with you being with Christ. Whether that's through the peace of reconciliation in the evening, or it's in fact with the Lord in his heavenly places, awaiting the day of the resurrection. It doesn't matter. We know that the steadfast love of the Lord comes with us. Even though we fail, God does not fail. Even though we are unfaithful, God remains faithful to us. No matter the cross, no matter the suffering that we are going to face in our body, we know that our life, our body and soul is commended into the hands of the God who bought us with his own blood. And we plead that God make me to know the way that I should go. How many paths are before you? When you were younger, you looked and you said, look at this, the world is what? My playground, my oyster, is it? Whatever way it's said, who cares? The idea was that you could do whatever you wanted to do. All these paths laid before you. But there is only one path that leads to righteousness. And that is the way of Christ. If you put other things before the Lord, you will, again, go down a path, but that path does not lead to eternal life. The path that leads to eternal life finds its beginning and its end in Jesus. The start to the day, the end of the day, the start of the week and the end of the week, the beginning of the year and the end of the year, it belongs in no place else than in the blood of Christ. If you want to be delivered from your enemies, if you want to do the will of the Lord, you need Christ. You need the gift of the Holy Spirit, whom he had promised to send. For he said, "If I go to the Father, I will send to you the Comforter." And he delivered. The Holy Spirit is working. It's difficult being a Christian, because it's not just your friends that can be annoying. It can be also your members of your own family. You might think it's difficult to love your enemies, but it may just be as difficult, if not even greater, to try to love members of your own family who do not believe, or who think you're a foolish Christian, or who can't understand why you would devote so much time and energy and even money to a church. But it is because they do not understand the word of the Lord. They do not see clearly as you see, because they have not faith. Or if they do have faith, it is misguided. Maybe they are ignorant in many ways, but yet you remain to them. Steadfast in the truth by, again, the courage of the Holy Spirit, you remain in their life, the one who shares the light of Christ, who is resolved and hopeful in the midst of tragedy and calamity. They see that and they ask, how? In which case, you have every opportunity to give them the reason for the hope that is within you. Who cares though the whole world be against me? My body and soul remain with the one who redeemed it, who also has the power and ability to rescue me from every hand of my enemies. Whether that's from without or from within. For I know that as a Christian, a baptized believer, that there is a war that also wages on within my heart, to do the things of God or to do my own will. It is the sin that dwells within me, not me, but the sin that dwells within me, as St. Paul says, who does these wicked things that I do not desire to do. For I am a new man. The Holy Spirit has been sent into my heart crying, Abba, Father. I am now a child of God, and yet now I have the vexation of the devils on every hand. The demons who afflict me, who desire me to be turned away from the confidence that I possess in Christ. My soul is in trouble when I am away from the Lord. And yet, as the psalmist cries out, let your good spirit lead me, preserve my life, bring my soul out of trouble, cut off my enemy, destroy all the adversaries of my soul. It's tough. You know, the world sometimes accuses the church of terrible things, and sometimes, most often, they're wrong. But sometimes they're right. How hard it is to love our neighbor when they haven't done anything deserving of love. When we pass on an opportunity to proclaim to them the mighty works of God, but we're too scared because they might think differently of us. Or they might say things which hurt our feelings. How difficult it is when we throw a feast to invite all the people in the neighborhood, because that means we got to prepare more food or possibly deal with rejection. How hard it is to be welcoming to the one who cannot repay me. how difficult it is often to pray as we ought to pray, as you have learned. It's one thing to pray for myself. I know my needs, and I know how great it would feel if some of the burdens were lifted off my shoulders, but it's much harder for me to think about every other person, including those who persecute me and my enemies. To offer prayers for them, sincerely, that's a twisting. That's so hard for me to do. That's an actual change in behavior, in thought, and in heart. If it were up to me, I wouldn't pray for any of them. But that's because of my sinful nature. That's not the power of the Holy Spirit. Because by the Spirit of God, I learn to see differently. That my own will to put down those who would persecute me is not the way of the Lord. Because he desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. And he made a way for the gospel to be accessible to all people. He did that by sending the Holy Spirit. So that this gospel, the message of your salvation, would go out into all the world. That they would all hear and hear the words of Christ, that it is finished. Your sins are atoned for. The blood of the Son of God has covered your iniquity. That he has brought the unbelievers to faith and made them believers, the sinners to be the redeemed ones. He has taken those who were in the captivity of death and have released them to life and has set their feet on the path which leads to eternal life. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. It's what all of this has led up to. These days following the resurrection of our Lord have turned us to look for the Comforter, the helper, the advocate, the guardian of my life and soul. For many people will come after us. They may try to hurt us and harm us in our body, but they cannot ever separate us from the love of God that we have in Christ Jesus. That is because we have been guarded by Christ, by the Father, by the Holy Spirit. Now it may come that there are going to be days in your life that are going to wane. You're going to feel on one day really good. And you're going to say, Lord, thank you for blessing me. This is a wonderful day of reprieve. Thank you so much. I know that you are with me today. But then you're going to have another day that's not going to feel so lovely. And you may question the Father's love for you. You may question whether or not the Spirit of God is with you, whether you have the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But turn not to your own feelings. The Holy Spirit desires to deal with you in a most particular way, that is through the Word. Everything has led up to this. Every promise has been fulfilled. Every word that the Lord has spoken, he delivers on. His steadfast love remains with us each day. So I tell you this because the days will come upon you. Do not look for the peace that this world has to offer. Do not look for the peace that the world gives you. That will always change. There is a steadfast and constant faith that remains in the Lord Jesus. For he says to his disciples and to you, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and I am coming back to you. The Holy Spirit being sent on this day of Pentecost in a most special way is again a confirmation, a testament that the Lord Jesus will return. And when he returns, he will gather up all the believers. And the Holy Spirit will raise all the believers and give to them eternal life in Christ Jesus. That is the peace that you possess. That is the peace that the world cannot offer you. The world will always ask and always demand to see the quota, to see how much you've done, to see what you've contributed, what you've offered, and whether or not it stacks up. How good you can speak, or well you can speak, how much you can influence another. All of these things the world will go after because that is the only way it understands to have peace. But the Holy Spirit enters into your heart and proclaims to you the peace which God gives through his word. That it is all sufficient what Christ has done on the cross. That your salvation is secure in the hand of God. And that Christ ascending goes to the Father who is greater than him. Not in the sense that they have a different essence, but because the Son humbled himself and became man. But now he goes to the Father, and if you are in the Father's hand, there you are protected and secure. The Father will guard you and keep you. The Holy Spirit comes that you may have life and have it abundantly in the name of Christ. Your peace is always wrapped up in Jesus. So even now, this day, as you draw near to the sacrament of the altar, you come and you will hear at the end, "Depart in peace and in joy." Because the very fullness of the joy that God desires you to have, the very fullness of the peace which you can possess here on earth, does not come through the hands of any man or prince or anything along those lines. It comes straight from God himself. These are his words, that I have given my body and my blood for the forgiveness of your sins. May the Holy Spirit grant to you the faith to believe these words, to not doubt them, but firmly hold them fast in your heart and in your mind, so that as you draw near to this place, you may, with all the company of God, whether it's here on earth or there in heaven, you may draw near with the same peace that is over the world in Jesus. Because not even the devil has any hold on you any longer. For just as Jesus said that the ruler of this world is coming and he has nothing in me, the same is true for you. The evil spirits have been cast out. The Holy Spirit now dwells with you. The devil has no hold on you. He cannot forbid you from receiving that which Christ has to give you. The very peace that is beyond all understanding, that the world cannot give, but which is yours in Jesus. In his name, amen. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard and keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus, our Lord.